Welcome to Extraordinary People.
We celebrate everyday people who are on a mission to change the world however they can. From climate change to domestic violence, social equality to fair trade, our guests each have one thing in common. They're making it their business to make the world a better place. Today, I'm talking to Federica Micozzi, Director of Fairmail and Social Activist. So, Federica, hello, welcome to the show.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you very much for having me today.
Pleasure. Starting right at the very beginning, could you explain for our listeners what Fairmail is?
Sure. Fairmail is a social enterprise. We produce fair trade photo products, mainly greeting cards, with pictures taken by Peruvian teenagers who come from critical socioeconomic backgrounds and are at risk of school dropout. Our mission is to fight against child labor in Peru and promote education as the driving force to social economic empowerment. Our production center is in Huanchaco. It's a very nice fisher village, 12 kilometers north of Trujillo, which is the third biggest city in Peru. When it comes to the history of Fairmail, Fairmail was founded in 2006 by Dutch social entrepreneurs Janneke Smulders and Pieter den Hond. At that time, they were both running a vegetarian restaurant in Huanchaco, and in their spare time, they used to volunteer in El Milagro, which is a very poor neighborhood of Trujillo that is home to the city landfill. So here in El Milagro, there was and there is actually an entire community of people, children included, that survived and survive by separating garbage and selling it to recycling companies for a few cents a bag. And the whole idea behind Fairmail came from a very common practice among volunteers. So Janneke realized that fellow volunteers would bring their cameras to the landfill and take pictures of the children, but they would never allow them to handle the cameras because they were afraid that, you know, they might break them. So this is when she had the intuition of reversing the perspective, and she wondered, what happens if we put the cameras in the hands of the children? And it was a brilliant intuition because the children's role completely changed at that point, you know, from being the passive subjects of the pictures, they became the actual photographers. And this is how the first photography classes started. At the beginning, there were only five children, and they used to produce postcards featuring local landmarks, and they would sell them in Janneke's restaurant. And the income generated from the sales of the postcards was invested in the photographer's education fund, so to try to lift them out of poverty. So this is how Fairmail was born. 15 years later, our mission and business model have remained the same, with the only difference that over the years, Fairmail has grown. Since 2006, we have provided for the education of 46 children. And now we sell our cards in several countries across Europe, UK included.
So can you tell us more about the cards themselves?
So with the pictures taken by our photographers, we produce greeting cards, costume cards of any kind, from corporate Christmas cards to wedding invitations, including birthday party invitations, thank you cards, anything you can think of, anything that any occasion that might need a card, we cover it, you know. We also have a gallery of over 10,000 pictures on our website that can be purchased as stock images. This year, for the first time, we have introduced e-cards and produced a calendar. And of course, we are constantly working on the product development, on product development, to widen the range of products that we offer. What I think makes our card special is that on the back of the cards, you have a small information box where you can find information about the photographer who took the picture. So people who buy our cards know exactly where the money is going.
That's amazing. So you've taught the kids themselves to take photos. How did the lessons work?
Lessons are very fun, chaotic, but very fun. So we have three classes a week. On Thursday and Friday, we have half of the group, so only five or six children come to class. And on Saturday, we have the whole group, so 11 children total. Our classes start with a game to kind of break the ice and, make the energy flow. Then after the game, the photographers receive feedback on the pictures that they took on the previous class so that they know what needs to be improved. And at this point, the photography session starts. And this means that every photographer sets up their working station and they take their pictures. After the photo session, we have a snack. And on Saturday, we have our weekly meeting where we all share the highs and lows of our week. We make announcements. So we celebrate birthdays when there are birthdays to be celebrated. Generally speaking, we plan the following week.
Brilliant. Mm-hmm. As well as the cards, you organize ecotourism trips to Peru, don't you?
We do, yes. So twice a year, we organize photography trips in quite remote areas of the country. So we don't follow the main tourist destination, okay? But we mainly focus in the central and northern part of Peru. We welcome any traveler in the world that wants to join us. And joining us is also a way to allow one of the kids to participate in the trip, because basically the travelers who come with us, join our trip, they also cover the expenses, the cost of one of our kids. So you're not only, as a traveler, you're not only giving yourself an unforgettable experience, very authentic, because we only rely on local businesses, for example, but you're also giving one of our photographers the opportunity to join the trips, which is something that otherwise they could not afford to do.
Wow, that sounds great. How did you get involved with Fair Mail to start with?
My adventure in Fair Mail started in 2015 when I applied as a volunteer. I spent 2 months volunteering in the project in Peru, and I completely fell in love with it from day one. As an amateur photographer, I just couldn't have found a more perfect program, as Fair Mail uses photography as a mean to empower children at risk of school dropout. So, for the first time in my life, photography was not just a form of self-expression, but a mean to a higher end. And I just couldn't think of anything better, as a volunteer.
Sounds great. And now you're the boss. How did that happen?
After my first volunteering experience in 2015, I kept in touch with the whole group. I worked for them as a sales agent in Italy, because I'm from Italy. I went back to Peru in 2016 to join one of their photography trips. So our relationship grew stronger and stronger over time. And in 2018, when the Fair Mail founders decided to take a step back from Fair Mail to move on to a completely different chapter of their lives, they asked me and my colleague Kira from Germany if we wanted to take over. And we just couldn't find a good enough reason to say no. So, here we are.
Sounds like it was meant to be.
It is,
Living in and off refuge sites is very common in many countries, isn't it? Can you describe to our listeners what that is like for the people that are living there?
It is very common indeed, unfortunately. As you can imagine, living conditions are horrible. It is estimated that around 1,600 people, children included, live in and off Trujillo's garbage dump. As I said, they collect and separate garbage by material, and they sell it for a few cents a bag to recycling companies. That's what they do to survive. They don't have any access to healthcare, education, proper food, shelter, employment opportunities outside the garbage dump, and they risk their life, their lives every single day. I mean, they don't use any protective gear. They constantly inhale toxic fumes. Spontaneous combustion happens all the time. It's really horrible. It's really an horrible situation, you know? And what is worst is that they don't have a better option. They are stuck in extreme poverty. Yeah, that's what, you know, makes me really sad, you know, to see that they are okay with that because they don't have a better alternative in life.
And you give people the opportunity to earn an income differently, don't you?
We do, yes. And we do that through photography. So I told you about our photography classes. So we give them for free to a group of 10 to 11 teenagers at a time, aged from 14 to 19 years old. These teenagers come from very poor neighborhoods of Trujillo. With the pictures they take, we produce fair trade products, okay? And we sell these products, as I said, in European countries, including the UK. The photographers receive 60% of the proceeds, and they invest the money in three funds. The education fund, where 80% of the money goes, the clothing fund, and the house fund. They also have a separate health fund, which covers them and their direct family members. So this way, we do not only have an immediate and positive impact on the children, but also on their families, because they can also benefit from the money in the health and house funds. For example, the parents, we constantly have parents that need running health checks or undergoing small surgical operations, or they use their house fund money to build walls in their houses, to build roofs, to plaster their walls, to buy beds and mattresses, lay down floors, things that, you know, they could not afford otherwise. And I also think that this is a good way to involve the families and make sure that they support and encourage their children to complete the program.
And what happens when the young person does complete the program? Where do they go next? What do they do?
This is a question that we are asked very often. And so the photographers leave the program when they are 19. At this age, they have finished high school and they either choose to find a job or continue their studies. After they leave the program, they keep receiving the proceeds from the sales of their cards until they are 25, so they can keep paying for their studies. That's our main focus, our main goal. And after the age, so after they turn 25, is quite unlikely that they still have cards for sales. And if they have, the money goes to a common fund and it is used to buy photo equipment for the whole group. Something that I really, really like is that even after they leave the program, they keep coming to the Saturday photo session, so the group photo session. And they do that to help the younger and less experienced photographers and, you know, just to hang out with the rest of the group. I mean, the relationships that they have built over the previous 5-6 years are so strong, you know, that they just keep coming back. It's like Vermeil becomes their second family. Yeah. There is just one more thing that I'd like to stress about this. It's that our mission is not to turn them into professional photographers, you know, quite the contrary. I mean, we do our best to give them personal and professional guidance to help them find their way and choose the career that best suits their talents, their dreams, and aspirations, you know. So we do not expect them to become photographers after they leave the program.
And when they leave, when they're 19, do you have a celebration to end the program?
We do, yes. the day a photographer leaves is always a very emotional day for everyone. We have cake to celebrate the photographer. We give the photographer a framed photo collage with the highlights of his or her years in Vermeil. Everyone writes notes and says a few words. And this is actually when a few tears, you know, normally come down. And then, you know, it's kind of also ironic in part because we're probably going to see him or her the following week anyway. But yeah, it is still a very emotional day, you know, to officially say goodbye to one of the photographers.
Sounds really lovely. You must have some really great success stories. Do you have any favorites that you can share?
We have a few successful stories. It's difficult to pick one, actually. I can think of Juan Gabriel, for example. He used to sing on the streets for money when he was a child. He spent his childhood and part of his teenage years in a home for boys. But he's such a resourceful boy that he has always made the most of all the opportunities that came along in his life. And now he's studying communication at university, and he's doing an internship in a local NGO. So this makes us really proud. We've also had girls moving abroad. Maria Flor, for example, was accepted as a full-time student at the American Institute for Foreign Studies in California. And Yuli is now a Spanish teacher in France. So that's pretty impressive, I would say.
Wow, they're really amazing success stories. Where do you see Vermeil in 5 years' time?
This is a very good question. Our dream is to see Vermeil cards for sale in every card shop in the UK. Is that too much to ask? No, I'm joking. I mean, we've only just entered the UK market, so we know that there is a lot of potential to be untapped. This would allow us to support an even bigger number of photographers. And who knows, maybe one day we might also be able to open a new production center in a different country of the world. Yeah, that would be our greatest dream come true.
That's some great goals. What do you think the biggest challenge, or what do you see as the biggest obstacle to achieving those goals?
I would say that our biggest challenge is probably the inevitable evolution of habits due to the increasing popularity of digital technology. For this reason, we constantly need to diversify our products to keep up with the current trends. And that's also why we have recently introduced e-cards, so digital cards, for example, to reach that segment of people who is, you know, slowing abandoning paper, or who has, you know, already abandoned paper.
And you've got a full-time job and you're running a social enterprise. How do you find the time for both?
Well, I'm very lucky because I work as a freelance translator. So I have the flexibility that I need to manage my time between Vermeil and my translations. It can be overwhelming at times, yes, but I'm really happy with what I'm doing, and I don't want to sound cliche, but Vermeil doesn't really feel like work for me. It's more of a life mission, so I really don't mind working long hours.
What a great mission to have. What drives you?
You know, before my adventure in firm mail started, I was happy with my job as a translator, but I wasn't feeling fully accomplished and fulfilled because I knew that I could do more and I wanted to do more. So when I was asked if I wanted to take over firm mail, it just felt like the missing piece of the puzzle. And today, what drives me is seeing the photographers having a better chance in life and growing into the adult that they choose to be. I really love the fact that thanks to firm mail, they have a choice. And because most of the kids in Peru just don't have a choice, you know? According to one of the latest reports of the INEI, which is a national Peruvian agency, 17.6% of children from 5 to 17 years old have worked in Peru at a certain point in their lives. And that's over 1 million children. It's a shocking figure. So I do realize that firm mail is only a drop in the ocean, but I also believe that change comes from small beginnings. And and I believe that we've only just begun.
That you've changed quite a lot already. And finally, Federica, as a social business, obviously you need to generate enough income to keep going and keep doing your great work. How can people support you?
Well, there are many ways to support firm mail. People can buy our cards. We are on eBay UK and on lawfromtheartist.com. If there are any card retailers listening to the podcast, they can stock up our cards. We have a special retailer section on our website, firmmail.info. People can volunteer with us both online and in Peru. And they can also, of course, join our photography trips in Peru. There is also a page about that on our website. And if they have any secondhand photography equipment that they would like to donate, we are very happy to take it.
Fabulous. Well, thank you so much for your time, Federica. It's been great chatting with you. I'm sure all our listeners have learned an awful lot from your story. And for everybody out there, please join me, Sarah Ed Mash, on my next podcast, Project Worlds.